capture the flag when you were a kid. Remember? Good. We had a dead-end street. We had about 13 kids that lived on the block. We had other kids from other neighborhoods. So we ended up playing capture the flag. The rules were the street was a neutral zone. And then we used flags. And we either used dish towels or socks. And the rule was that you had to hide the flag, but it had to be seen openly. And you couldn't put it 60 feet in the air. Had to be within the reach of my smallest sister, right? So between the ground and 3 feet up the ground. It could be hid like behind a tree, but you have to be able to spot it if someone went around objects. So it had to be visible. So, and then you had two sides. And if you were on your side, you were safe, or on the street, the neutral zone. If you went over to the other side, you had the opportunity of being tagged by the opposition and had to go to jail, okay? The only way you could get out of jail is if someone from your team was able to make it to the jail spot and tag, and then everyone was able to walk over to the other side free. So obviously the object of the game was to get to the other side, find their flag, grab it without being tagged, and getting over to your side. The first team to get the opposition's flag over on their side won the game. So you could see a lot of different strategies could play into the game, right? You could have lots of guards around your flag, and I think we had a zone, you know, you couldn't stand right over the flag. I think you had to stay within 10, 20 feet away from it. If you're defending that flag, that gave the opposition a chance to kind of run into a safe zone, grab the flag, and then try to make it back. So you may have most of your team kind of guarding your flag, situated around, and you send out a couple scouts searching for the other team's flag. Or you could be brave and keep one or two people kind of guarding the flag and just flood the other team with your teammates, trying to find their flag and grab it really quick and get back. We even had a strategy that worked a few times until the other team got wise of it, is that we would place our guards in one yard, so the other team thought, okay, the flag's somewhere here. It was actually in another yard. We had a nice neighborhood. We had about five houses on either side of the block, so everyone was pretty good about kids running through their yards and stuff, and over their fences and stuff. So that worked good because they spent all their time trying to locate the flag, and the flags are there, gave you more time over there. The other strategy may be waiting for trying to tag all the other team when they came over, and then it would made it easier to go over and get there. So all kinds of strategies going in there. We have all kinds of strategy to protect things that we have. We protect our homes. We protect our eyes. We wear safety glasses. Hopefully when we should, or face shields, or if you're a welder, glasses there. Our homes, we might get a home security system, or better yet, a big dog. So there's a lot of things that we guard. We even end up guarding things that aren't really that important. We may set aside time and money so we could go to Starbucks or go to a restaurant, right? Or save up for vacation. So there's a lot of things we guard. So the one question I have is, and these things aren't the most important things in the world, but we do end up guarding them, if you think about it a little bit. But how important is it in guarding your heart? That's what I want to talk about this morning. What value do you place in your life in guarding your heart? How often do you consciously think about guarding your heart? Have you ever considered it important to guarding your heart? Okay. How are you aware of when you need to be guarding your heart? And then how do you guard your heart? So that was kind of a Bible study that I was doing, so I'm kind of just sharing you my Bible study this morning. So the definition of guard is watch over in order to protect or control, or protect against damage or harm. This morning, like I mentioned to you, we're going to cover just the who and the why, because Barb wanted it within 30 minutes. It's an hour and a half. We're not going to cover the what, where, when, and how. So we'll look at that. So, So we'll look at the whys of why we need to cover our heart, and we'll look at examples of who did and who didn't guard their heart. Okay? So our first why. Why determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Proverbs 4:23. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. Here the scriptures tell us above all else, we should be guarding our hearts. That's the number one thing that we should be guarding. We'll look at some other things. Because what is in our hearts ends up affecting how we relate to God, how we relate to others, our relationships. It also helps us from sinning. So we need to be guarding our heart. The next reason on why we want to guard our heart so it doesn't grow cold. Matthew 24:8-13. But all this is the first of the birth pains, with more to come. Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You'll be hated all over the world because you are my followers. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. So sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. So here, as we see the drawing near of the Lord's return, we need to be careful guarding our hearts so our own hearts don't grow cold. Okay? Also, our hearts, we need to guard so they don't become fearful as we see persecution. We need to watch our hearts so they don't become deceived. Also, that we don't become hopeless just because we see all the sin and things going on around in the world. There's things that just drag us down if we let them. We need to be guarding them. And if we keep our hearts, it will help us to endure to the end, bringing salvation. So some other reasons why we need to guard our heart. It's full of evil and wickedness. Proverbs 19:12. How can I know all the sin lurking in my heart? Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Here we could see another good reason to keep a close eye on our hearts, right? Because things just seem to pop up sometimes, right? And we go, where did that come from? I'm the only one experiencing that? Okay. Another why is it's known by God. Psalms 44:21. God would surely have known it, for he knows the secrets of every heart. Psalms 139:1. O Lord, you have examined my heart and known everything about it. Psalm 17:3. You have tested my thoughts and examined my heart in the night. Sometimes we act like we're able to hide what's in our hearts. But if we're honest and really think about it, God knows what's in our hearts. So when we are seeing things in our hearts that shouldn't be there, or a close friend that loves us kind of mentions something, we know who we could go to because he already knows what's there. So it's not like we're going to be embarrassed, right? He knows better what's in our hearts than we do ourselves. So we need to take that to God. Another reason is it provides a happy heart. Proverbs 15:13. A glad heart makes a happy face. A broken heart crushes the spirit. Proverbs 15:15. For the despondent, every day brings trouble. For a happy heart is a continuous feast. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be in a continuous feast than having things in my heart that's causing trouble in my life, right? And being despondent. The next why is it will be tested. Uh-oh. I thought I was done with all my testing after I finished college, but no. Proverbs 17:3. Fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but the Lord tests the heart. Proverbs 21:2. People might be right in their own eyes, but the Lord examines the heart. So, even if you don't want to be examining your heart, someone's examining it. Deuteronomy 13:3. You shall not listen to the words of what that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. That's good. The next why, it will make others rejoice. Proverbs 23:17. My child, if your heart is wise, my own heart will rejoice. Okay? I know as a parent, I really rejoice when I see my boys doing the right thing, right? It's not so happy when I see them not where they need to be. So guard your heart. You know, look for wisdom. It'll bring joy to God, to your parents, your spouses, even your pastor's heart will be happy. Why? It reflects who you are. Proverbs 27:19. Excuse me. As a face is reflected in water, so the heart reflects the real person. Matthew 12:35. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. So why guard your heart? Your heart's going to reflect who you are, and others are going to see it. And along that same line is why it's to remain pure and undefiled. Matthew 15:18-19. But the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. For from the heart, evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander come from the heart. So if we let hate come into our heart, of course, Jesus talks about if we hate our brother, it's just the same as murder, right? But that could lead to murder, right? If nothing else in our hearts, right? I wish you were dead, right? Selfishness of serving oneself instead of God, if we let that come in, right? Now we're worshiping ourselves or other idols instead of God. Lustful desires, if we're not careful to guard against that, or could lead into sexual immorality. Coveting leads to theft, right? So revenge and envy leads to lying and slander against others. Have you ever caught yourself talking against another person? Sometimes that's check your heart, see what's come in there. We're supposed to think the best of each other, right? And if we do see wrong, you know, we're supposed to go one-to-one against that person, not going telling Susan over here. So, watch that. Why? So we could receive God's gift. Acts 8:20-21. But Peter replied, may your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought. You can have no part of this, for your heart is not right with God. Here, Peter's talking to Simon, the former sorcerer, and he was now a new believer, and he saw Peter and others laying hands of people receiving the Holy Ghost. And he wanted to be able to have that gift, right? So what was in his heart? Right? He used to be the top dog in the area, right? He was a sorcerer, everyone came to him. He let pride and stuff. Now he's no longer the top dog, right? Now he wanted this gift, and he could say, well, maybe if I could lay hands and people receive the Holy Spirit. So he had the wrong motive. So we got to watch when our hearts. Even when we're doing good, we need to watch our hearts. Because if we're doing something with the wrong motive, it's going to count for nothing. Only what we do in love is going to count for anything. And then why? It fulfills God's commandments. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commands." It's pretty hard to meet these commandments if we have a heart that's been compromised. So we need to be continually guarding our heart. Hopefully from these scriptures, I hope I encourage you to think about it more on, you know, guarding your heart. Because above all else, that's what we should be guarding. That's the most important thing. So now we'll look at some examples of who did and who did not guard their heart. And the first one is Cain. Easy one. There was the first example I found in the Bible concerning with Genesis. Okay? Genesis 4:4. Abel also brought a gift, the best of the firstborn lambs, from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel in his gift, but he did not accept Cain in his gift. This made Cain very angry. He looked dejected. "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master." So how did sin control Cain? What did he let into his heart? What did he need to do to not have sin control him? Do we have things in our lives that we resist God from wanting to be able to do his ways? And what might that lead us to? So we need to be careful watching our hearts. For Cain, right, he ended up with a little rebellion, right? A little envy. When God confronted him, he didn't accept correction. Do we find it hard to accept correction? Maybe sometimes. So then obviously he became jealous enough and envious enough. He did what? He killed his brother. Sin could get out of control pretty fast. If you look at the scriptures, they happened over and over and over again. In fact, if you just look around, right? Watch the news. The next who did not was Ananias and Sapphira. Acts 5:3, then Peter said, "Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some money for yourself." So here, were they doing good? They were giving money to the church, right? But obviously their motives weren't right. Things got into their heart. What do you think that was, maybe? One, maybe they didn't really want to give all the money. They want to keep some for themselves. That wasn't necessarily wrong. Okay? But maybe they let... Huh?
They lied about it.
They did lie about it. That was their sin, right? Lying to the Holy Spirit. But what made them lie? It was maybe they were envious because other people got attention when they sold their property and brought all their money in. Right? Maybe they were prideful. They wanted to be seen as being one of those people that sold all their property and brought it in. Whatever their hearts were led to the wrong motive. Of course, who knew what was in their hearts? God, right, yeah. So it didn't work out the greatest for them. So who was it that filled their heart? Who filled their heart? You have let Satan fill your heart, right? Okay, but what I want you to see is who let Satan fill their hearts? They let Satan fill their hearts. So obviously they had the opportunity to guard their hearts, right? So we need to be careful. We know who we're listening to, watching our hearts. You know, we should be knowing enough, know God's word well so we know when we're being lied to, right? Or know what's right and wrong, right? And then we're able to detect against our heart. Now we'll follow one example of who did guard his heart. This is David for not killing Saul in 1 Samuel 24:2 through 13. So Saul chose 3,000 elite troops from all of Israel and went to search for David and his men near the rocks of the wild goats at the place where the road passes some sheepfolds. Saul went into a cave to relieve himself. But as it happened, David and his men were hiding further back in the cave. "Ha, now's your opportunity," David's men whispered to him. "Today the Lord is telling you, I will certainly put your enemy into your own power to do with as you wish." So David crept forward and cut off a piece of the hem of Saul's robe. But then David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut Saul's robe. "The Lord knows I shouldn't have done that to my lord, the king," he said to his men. "The Lord forbid that I should do this to my lord, the king, and attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him." So David restrained his men and did not kill Saul. After Saul had left the cave and gone away, David came out and shouted after him, "My lord, the king." And when Saul looked around, David bowed low before him. Then he shouted to Saul, "Why do you listen to the people who say I am trying to harm you? This very day you can see with your own eyes it isn't true. For the Lord placed you at my mercy back there in the cave. Some of my men told me to kill you, but I spared you. For I said I'll never harm the king. He is the Lord's anointed one. Look, my father, at what I have in my hand. It's a piece of the hem in your robe. I cut it off, but I didn't kill you. This proves I'm not trying to harm you, and that I have not sinned against you, even though you are hunting for me to kill me. May the Lord judge between us. Perhaps the Lord will punish you for what you are trying to do to me, but I'll never harm you. As the old proverb says, from evil people come evil deeds. So you can be sure I'll never harm you." Note here in the story that David caught his heart, right? Even though his men were encouraging him to kill Saul, right? In fact, he was saying, "Hey, the Lord has put him in your hands. Go do the Lord's will." Sometimes we justify doing things because we think it's in the Lord's will, right? But David caught himself as he remembered the saying, right? From evil people come evil deeds. So it would have been very easy here for Saul, right? I mean, Saul was after him to kill him. Wouldn't he have been justifying defending himself? That would have been really easy to let in his heart, right? David was thrown out of his family, right? His home. He had to run. He was on the run from Saul. He could have easily let into his heart that this is the Lord's will that I kill Saul. But he guarded and checked all of those things, saying, "No, the Lord anointed King Saul. I'm not going to pay evil." So he did a really good job here on guarding his heart. So when we've been wrong, or are being continually wrong, we need to keep close watch on our hearts, right? It's constantly going to be challenged. That's probably the hardest time, right? One of the times we really need to watch our hearts when we're being wrong. So I'll move on to the next example, King Solomon. 1 Kings 4:29. God gave Solomon very great wisdom and understanding and knowledge, as vast as the sands of the seashore. I could use some of that. 2 Chronicles 9:22. So King Solomon became richer and wiser than any other king on the earth. Then we go to 1 Kings 11:1 through 5. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughters of Pharaoh, the women of the Moabites, Amorites, Edomites, Sidonians, and the Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, "You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods." Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives and princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it was so, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Malcham, the abomination of the Amorites. So we see here, even Solomon not watching his heart and not finishing very well. He had everything, right? He had all knowledge. Not all knowledge, but he had knowledge, right? He had wisdom. He knew what he needed to be doing. But he failed to guard his heart, right? He failed to consider what the Lord would have him to do. He was supposed to be leading the nation. And he did the one thing that one of the things the Lord told him not to do. Why? I don't know what was all in his heart, but obviously something was there to lead him off. So above all else, we need to guard our heart. You see, even Solomon, with all that knowledge, wisdom, riches, and everything, he fell. So I think one of the biggest dangers, especially when we think that we can't fall, that's when we certainly need to be guarding our hearts, right? When you think we have it all together. So guard the heart. We covered mostly on who and why. I encourage you, as you go through your Bible and read, maybe think about guarding your heart. Look at what we need to guard, when we need to guard our heart, what we need to guard our heart from, how to guard our heart, which a pastor's been covering quite a bit, and then where to guard our heart. It's a really good subject to cover, to meditate on, to take heed to, and to act. And we went ahead and made some bookmarks for you, if you'd like them, on guard your heart, just to help you remember. So let's go ahead and I'll have Bob and Missy come up and pray for any requests that you may have. And we'll go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Go ahead and have Zach play some music in the background. And we'll go from there. Lord, we just thank you and praise you. We just thank you for your word, Lord. We just thank you for your warnings and guidance, Lord. We just pray that you help all of us, Lord, to learn to guard our hearts, Lord, and to take it seriously and know that above all else, that's what we should be guarding. And we just give you all the praise and the glory. And we just ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.